is the Vinny White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Evening, evening, evening. Hello, how's it going? Right, what am I doing here? It's a bit weird tonight because I'm filming this as well as doing a radio show, so I suppose it's almost television. But we'll get into that later on. So it shouldn't really affect the quality of the radio programme. It'll still be as terrible and awful as always. So good evening, my name is Vinny White. You're listening to News Talk 1010, unless you're watching this, in which case you're watching a documentary. But you probably know about that because it started and you probably paid a good amount of money to watch it. Unless it's crap, in which case you're probably watching this on YouTube thinking, who's this English guy? I clicked on this because it looked entertaining. Stick with it, it will be fine. So it's a radio show, it's Sunday night, it's 9 o'clock. I would have been here a bit earlier. I'd like to do some research on the show, which is why it's such an upstanding pinnacle that's appreciated throughout the broadcasting world and is looked at by journalists across the globe as a reputable and reliable source of information and BS. So if it sounds a bit shoddy tonight, one of the reasons is because I got here late and I want to talk about why I got here late. I got kicked off a streetcar. If you don't know what a streetcar is, you might be listening outside Toronto. It's a small device, looks a bit and feels like a can of sardines. Has the feeling that you're about as safe and secure as when you're very drunk and very high and just treading out in front of traffic. Gives you the support of a terrible underwired bra and makes you feel as good about yourself for using public transport as someone that lives perhaps with no dignity on a rubbish dump in a third world country. Not digging them, you know, not digging them. They're great when they work, which is every 1 to 3 million years. No, they're all right, aren't they? I like them when they work, and I like to have them because it's, you know, it's a bit of a novelty for people that come to this North American town and think, oh, look at that. I'll get a photo of that. And it's nice to have something that makes us a bit different from the big boys up here with the fourth largest population city in North America. And it's one thing that makes us stand out. The unfortunate thing is they do tend to go wrong a lot. So if it is moving, and, you know, say a car was to break down in front of it or something, or someone would just be an idiot and pull out in front of it at the last minute, which would never happen because Toronto drivers are perfect in every way, it would be difficult for the streetcar to get around it because, you see, it is on tracks. It's like a train, but without the benefit of, you know, being a train. So it's that. And then, of course, there's the issue that when it does break down, the one behind it, how could that possibly get round? Because that's the same issue again, isn't it? So that's going to need a push. And then, of course, if there's an ice storm, which could never happen because, well, it's reasonable climate. No, it's, oh, yes, it could. Actually, it could happen, yeah. Then if that happens, then they come off the tracks. If the tracks, of course, well, I say they come off the lines above. Imagine, if you will, a bumper car from a child. Just imagine that stretched, like a sort of limo of bumper cars. You know, it's got an antennae that hangs onto a rail. There's a lot of problems involved with all of this. Also, they share the roads with cars, and if you're stupid enough, like me, bicycles, which is amazing that I'm here at all. But my beef with them tonight was none of those things. It was efficient in the sense that it was on time. My text message told me when it was arriving, which is a great new system. Much more reliable, by the way, than the screens that have put in at some streetcar stops, which, if you're lucky enough to have a streetcar stop, you might just be on a street corner in minus 20 in a blizzard, you know. You might just be like that. But if they do build a streetcar stop, some of them now have sexy little screens in the corner, and those screens say when the next one's coming along, and they tend to do a time system that only happens in Toronto. There's some sort of peculiar black hole floating around here because it does this. It says it will be along in 9 minutes, 8 minutes, then it says 7 minutes, and then it says 6 minutes, and then it says 5 minutes, and you look at your hands and think, I might make it, or I might die. And then it says 4 minutes, and you get mildly excited. Then it says 3 minutes, and you start looking down the road. Then it says 2 minutes, and you, if you're really cold and you're really wanting to get home, you might even get sexually aroused with excitement by this point. And then it says 1 minute, and then it says 10 minutes. But there's no bloody streetcar! It just goes up and down like an elevator. No sense, no logic. But even that isn't my beef, because my beef this evening is the fact that when I got on my streetcar, which, by the way, not entirely relevant, but I thought it was nice, was driven by an extraordinarily attractive woman. Really gorgeous. We had a nice little chat. I would say we built up a rapport. And I was going to, across the city, which is never easy, and was going to involve some subways, but someone forgot to build the subway lines everywhere. So you sort of have to connect with the sardine can, you see. So imagine if you're at the bottom left corner of a square and your workplace, a radio station, is the top right-hand corner of a square. You could go along the bottom, couldn't you? Or you could go up the side and then have the same issue of going along the top. There are, of course, two ways in a grid-like system, such as a North American structure. So I decided to opt for the first streetcar that was coming along, you see, because it makes no difference to me which way it's going, because both ones will get me to the same place. So the first one that came along said beautifully that it would take me all the way down to King Subway, which is great, because then I could hop on the subway and zoom on up, buttercup, minding out for the minus 20 rigmarole that is a painful windswept blizzard. So I was happy with that, jumped on, and then she got a phantom phone call from a man that spoke a language that sounded a bit like this to me. Which she translated as, can you please get off at the next stop? And I got kicked off. Now, this in streetcar term, if you're listening outside in the suburbs in the warmth of your own false environment, can I just point out, is in fact a short turn. Well, that's what the technical term is, which means that someone needs the streetcar more than me, which, being somewhat freezing at the time, was difficult to conceive. But nonetheless, I do appreciate there are other people on this city that I do share, and if their need is greater than mine, then so be it. But I can only assume that I'm being thrown out in a windswept blizzard, because there's probably one behind that will pick me up and take me the rest of the way. No, just kicked out. Just kicked out of the streetcar, side of the road, in a blizzard. All the best, mate. Cheers. Had to do a short turn. No apology. Short turn. Short turn is the TTC wording for what I would call it, which is a rip-off. Because I'd invested in a service. All right, it was $3. But come on. Short turn, rip off. Kick off. F off. Get off. There you go. Should we do the phone number? 416-872-1010. What's a short turn? Why does it happen? And is it frustrating? It's so annoying. Kicked off. And you're seeing the cabs must love it. Everyone around me got in a cab because they'd looked at their iPhones and realised that the next streetcar would be in 2015. And they all went, and they all did it independently. If we just had a bit more community spirit, and I blame myself for this as well, someone would have said, look, lads, this is a survival situation. Thing, the chips are down. We need a leader. Why don't we all chip in and get a cab, eh? Hmm? Ah, get the spirits up. I had a flask of tea. I could have handed it around. It would have been great. But no. Couldn't possibly talk to anyone else in the city. So that's that. That's a short turn. And if you've never been on TTC, congratulations. You can text the show as well on 71010, which is all very clever. It comes in on the screen next to me. You can be frightfully awful if you want. I'd rather you weren't. You can say nice things, like Ron just did. Hey, Vinny, hope they're giving you a bigger slot soon, because I think you're really good. In spite of your pompous, arrogant British accent. He giveth with one, he taketh with the other. It's all right. It's true. Speaking of which, Michael Corran, I don't want to talk about Biebs, because everyone else is, and let's be honest, we're going to be doing it for next year until he inevitably self-destructs in either a drug overdose or a car accident, which I wish wouldn't happen, but probably will. But Michael Corran is another British man, which I would say is far more arrogant than I, dare I be so bold. And he is on the Sun News Network, which, if you're not familiar with it, is slightly more right-leaning. And in a minute, we'll hear from him. And he takes arrogance to a whole new level. But we'll take a call, first of all. 416-872-1010, if you want to feel and perhaps sympathise and empathise with my ongoing pain of TTC. Andrew.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
I do enjoy your work. You're very entertaining.
Thank you.
And informative at the same time.
Oh,
I feel your pain. They are absolutely the worst mode of transportation to get around the city. Hence, look, they've been pulling them off the route because of the extreme cold. Or if there's one accident in front of them, the whole line is shut down.
Yeah.
I feel your pain. There's nothing like standing there waiting for 20 minutes when one shows up and it's short-turned. when you're going to, like, a far distance on the line.
Yeah.
They're brutal, they're horrible, and they should take them off the streets. But, of course, the left-wing socialists at City Hall think they're the best way to travel.
Thank you, Andrew.
You're welcome.
Cheers. Andrew there. He digged in at the end. He digged in with a little left bash. I don't care if you're left, right, centre, or, you know, round the back. It's all up to you. But I would say that they're certainly not the most idyllic fashion of transport. I quite like the new ones, if you ever see one. I think there's one in a city of 4.2 million people. So do look out for it. Anyway, that's that. I could rant on about that forever, and I feel like I'm not the only one. I feel sorry for the streetcar drivers, because it's not their fault that they're getting a phone call that essentially says, can you upset absolutely everyone sitting behind you that's already quite upset? I feel for them. Hello, Liz, 416-872-1010. That's not your full name, that's the phone number as well.
Hi.
Oh, hello, Liz. My fault, I was pressing buttons. What, you see, you get me so excited.
I love you to keep talking, I love your voice, and I'm so upset you're going to Nicaragua. Don't fall in love with anybody there, do you understand me?
What happens if it makes my life perfect for the rest of the future?
Well, I hope the family and everybody accepts you and you're safe, okay? That's the bottom line, that you're safe. Anyways, Vinny, listen, with the extreme cold, the streetcars didn't work, so they had to put on shuttle buses, right?
Mm.
Okay, so anyways, I phoned Karen Stint's office, and this young lady answered, and I said, look, the new streetcars, will they be able to handle the cold? Because obviously on the St. Clair, you didn't know how to figure out the ramps. She goes, oh, no, it's guaranteed they can handle the cold. Oh, like the Rob Ford guaranteed?
The Rob Ford guarantee is,
yeah,
is solid. Solid, I tell you.
You think so?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. That guy. He's just a normal guy, man. You should feel the pain.
You should go to customer service and say you want a refund. Did you pay by ticket or token or whatever, or do you have a Metro Pass?
I paid by cash.
Cash? Okay, you want a refund because you didn't get the service you expected.
Can I do that?
And go to the Davisville office, Young and Davisville. Have them, you know, they'll credit you.
Okay. I can't help seeing the irony of the fact that it's going to cost me $3 to get there and $3 to get back.
No, because when you leave the office, they'll give you a pass so you can get back onto the subway for free.
I don't believe this. Is this true? Because I will test this out.
It's a little green ticket. They give you a little green piece of paper and you get back on the subway for free. But it's like when the subway isn't working and you drop your token in the box, you go downstairs, and the subway's not working. Well, why didn't the person in the glass box tell you that before you dropped in your token?
Yeah. All right, thanks, Liz.
Bye.
See you later. And if you don't understand what she was talking about by dropping tokens in a box, because you must think, well, even Toronto, which has been known to be a bit backward, cannot possibly be still using a service that's not using magnetic strips and is still using tokens to drop in a box, which would obviously take far more staffing to process. And obviously would be easy and fraudulent because you could just flash the odd pass here and there or chuck in a token and or not chuck in a token. They wouldn't be doing that, would they? Yeah, they would. But it's a good idea, the token, because they've made them so small that you lose at least half of them, thereby paying double the price. Very clever. I'm onto you, people. Let's hear from Corin, a fellow Brit, who is more right-leaning than a man without a right leg. Do you know what I mean? This is him this week talking about a Canadian icon and tragedy to be, Justin Bieber.
I have to admit, and thus lose my enormous following of silly teenage females who scream a lot, that I couldn't really care less if Justin Bieber went to prison and was sold from one large tattooed man to another large tattooed man for a pack of cigarettes and half an eight ball of Coke.
That's nice, isn't it? Because that's the sort of fundamental warmth that one human should be giving to another. Can you play that just again? Because it seems to me that he knows an awful lot about what goes on in prison.
Couldn't really care less if Justin Bieber went to prison and was sold from one large tattooed man to another large tattooed man for a pack of cigarettes and half an eight ball of Coke.
Isn't that nice? Michael Corin there, deconstructing how the prison system works with drug use and rape from other grown men and actually wishing it on an individual that's trapped in a difficult web that's tormentally put on him by the fact that the media, including myself, and ironically, people like Michael Corin, spend a lot of time talking about him. Go on.
Sorry.
Stop there. Also, I hate it when people say something that is extreme, unnecessary, and reactionary, and then say afterwards, sorry.
Sorry.
You're not, because you said it. You didn't have to say it. You're only sorry about things that you didn't have to do or regret doing it. Sorry was part of the script that you wrote, so you're not sorry. Continue.
You act like a spoilt little girl. You live like a spoilt little girl. He's a vacuous fall, an empty vessel, a symbol of the deranged non-entity worship of contemporary society.
Yes, to a degree, I do actually, sadly, agree with those points. A vacuous fool doesn't really make sense. I think it's a contradiction in terms, because if you're vacuous, you have nothing to you. And if you're a fool, then you have everything to you. And one thing you might say is, well, he's vacuous, but he's not really, is he? Because he's got a lot more column inches than you. Dare I say penis inches. Move on.
Then again, we need to lighten and loosen up a bit, I suppose. Look, I remember buying Teeny Bopper. Do they still say that?
No, they don't. And you know that. And if you do, then you might want to look at your target demographic.
Do they still say that? Teeny Bopper CDs and even DVDs for my kids when they were little. And also remember throwing the same things away shortly afterwards when those kids told me it would be social suicide to be seen listening to while watching them. Bieber, well, he's a punk. He's a punk with more money than...
No, Bieber is not a punk. Bieber's not a punk. Bieber is a lost, somewhat misguided fool with, I will agree with you on the fool, with plenty of money that is, like so many stars before him, slowly sinking himself into a difficult and possibly terminal position on both the stage and perhaps even one day in a hospital.
And now we learn that his father, what a cretin, actually helped to arrange his illegal drag racing activities. Lovely dad. But all this situation, the media, they've become enablers. They have become his enablers. MSNBC, for example, is a self-righteous socialistic network where conservatives are routinely insulted, and everybody who doesn't...
Unlike the conservative media, where liberals are never insulted, just for balance.
...body who doesn't quite live up to these limousine liberals' attitudes is dismissed as not caring about the poor, the needy and the underprivileged. Right. Here is how they treated the Bieber issue.
Leave it there, because it's getting a bit complicated. You go three levels in. You're listening to Vinny on News Talk, listening to Michael Corran, who's taking the piss out of something else. It's too confusing. But he goes on to try and become Jon Stewart and fail incredibly badly. Michael Corran there, a former Brit, just showing that I don't always have loyalty to people from my country. I tell you what, Bieber's getting a bit boring, isn't he? It's quite awful watching a downward, painful, slow spiral. Like someone going down a helter-skelter with their testicles as brakes. Where should we go from here? Mayor news. There's a mayor. If you're watching this on the documentary that's being filmed, or if you're listening from another country, there's a mayor here in Toronto called... what's his name? I don't think he's been in the press. What is it? Slim Guy. You know the one? Elliot there reminded me. It's four something, isn't it?
Somewhere.
Yeah, four change. Ford, that's it. Well, you know what? It's not the only naughty man. Jean-Claude Guillain, the mayor of an off-island suburb of Montreal, is in trouble with the law. A mayor committing criminal behaviour. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? He was pulled over this weekend after police suspected him of impaired driving. Guillain, who refused a breathalyzer test, told the news agency he wasn't drunk. I can't have that. I refused a breathalyzer test, but I wasn't drunk. Yeah, of course you weren't, because that's a really logical thing to do. I assume he refused a breathalyzer test in the interest of oral hygiene. Yeah. This is the second time that the mayor has been arrested for driving under the influence. The last time was about a year ago, January 2013. Guillain claims he was a victim of police campaign. I'm a victim of a police campaign to harass and intimidate. Now, that sounds familiar. The president of the local police said the actions were serious and said he denied all accusations of harassment and intimidation. This claim is false. We do our jobs and make arrests for those that have infractions. I'm nothing like Rob Ford, said the mayor of the Montreal suburb. I'm not on crack for a start. Yeah. Ignoring the irony that by denying he was like Rob Ford, he was actually replicating the behaviour of the compulsive liar, Rob Ford. Well done there. Love what you did. But that's that. Now, meanwhile, we've got a serious situation in the skies above Canada. Two detained after a sexual act. Sexual act! Said the headline on CBC. I read on. What does that mean? Two people were detained for allegedly having sex on an Air Canada flight this weekend. The woman, 24, and the man, 38. Is that right? Guess that's all right. 24, 38. Usually 7:30. He should be patting himself on the back for that. Woman 24, man 38, were detained when Air Canada Flight 610 from Toronto landed in Halifax on Friday. RCMP said the officers received a call that the pair were involved in a sexual act on the flight. Police spoke to the pair in the Halifax terminal after the flight crews pointed them out. As the investigation began, the woman became very agitated and disruptive and eventually placed under arrest for causing a disturbance, said the chief of police. During the escort to the RCMP office, the woman continued to verbally abuse and physically resist arrest and then started kicking police officers. There's more charges pending. The woman was arrested and held overnight. She was released on Saturday. The man was not arrested and was released at the airport. She looks like she'd be in trouble from mischief, causing a disturbance and assaulting a police officer. She'll go to court in February. RCMP expect to lay additional charges against the pair, but they didn't say whether any charges would be facing the man. Yeah, they didn't say that. They didn't say where the man was that was having a sexual experience on Air Canada this weekend. But let's just say I went to Halifax this weekend. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Boom! Who's your daddy? Huh? Who made sweet love on a plane? Hubba hubba dang! Vinny White, thank you. I made that plane shake. I made the hostesses jealous. The in-flight movie started it. It was Miss Doubtfire. Always gets me going. Always. How could it not? It's like Scottish, but a man and a woman. Hello? What do you want? Doesn't get better than that. You're damn right she was screaming for hours afterwards, by the way. Hubba hubba ding dong, I showed her a British pork sausage she'll never forget. High five. Yep, that's what I did. Still rock and roll, guys. He said, drinking a cup of tea. Chamomile. Want to make sure I sleep well after the show. Too much caffeine at this age can keep you up for hours. Such a bother. Do you know what I actually did last night? This is true. I went out for dinner with a friend. We looked at women in the restaurant and then realised it was too loud and went home for a drink of tea. Actually true. Rock and roll, kids. When we come back, we talk about the wealth gap. We look at someone else that was, frankly, slightly bonkers on the media in Canada this week. O'Leary, as he takes on the world and says that greed is good. And a few other things right here on News Talk 1010.
You're tuned in to the Vinny White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Yes. So let me just talk about what this documentary is going to be about and the fact that I'm not going to be here for a little while, but I will be back. So, as you know, I've been living here in Canada for about 7 years, obviously, because you've got posters of me all over your wall and you think about me when you're having sex, right? In my mind. Please, please don't do that. I think I've just ruined someone's sex for the rest of their life. But yeah, I've been here for ages and I've been a radio host in Ottawa for the last, I don't know, 6 years or something like that. Then I like to think I upgraded by coming to Toronto, the centre of the universe. And now I live here and that's good. But I thought, you know, it's nice being a radio presenter and I really like it and I'm going to come back to it. I'm just taking a very brief break. But I've decided to do something quite interesting because it's cold and because I thought, why not do a bit of TV? And so I'm getting a bit into telly, just a little bit, but not like in a big way. And I thought I'd set myself just a nice, easy to take, full on, easy slide into television by setting myself just the very small challenge of going to Nicaragua for 7 weeks on my own, filming a documentary, coming back, editing the whole thing, and then selling it to the Outdoor Life Network. Little bit of a pipe dream at the moment, but, you know, you gotta have a go. So that's what I'm doing. I won't tell you the ins and outs of the whole project, but I will tell you this. I'll be leaving February the 17th and I'll be back on April the 4th. So I'm trying to miss as few shows as possible because I do have a commitment to you. God damn it, I love you. Why won't you realise that? And so when I'm back, I will, of course, endeavour to not only titillate you with some of the tales of the trip, but also I will then be putting together a documentary. It will have one very solid focus and mission: to go to Nicaragua, to explain how the country works, and to help out one person, and change their lives in a positive way. That is the concept of the TV show slash documentary. If, in turn, that helps out his family and perhaps or his or her village, then that's great. I haven't got a lot of money and it's self-funded, so the concept is that I will somehow help. And the challenge is, because I haven't got a lot of money, to make a difference to someone's life in a positive way. So I might end up trying to put some kids into school. I might end up building a shack or a roof on someone's house that doesn't exist. I might end up trying to organise some sort of better healthcare system or water into a village. Whatever, it's going to be hard work. I'm going to be in the sunshine, which is definitely not hard work when you look out and look at it being minus 20! But it will be plus 25, which is all very lovely until you realise that I'll be working quite hard. Don't know what I'm doing. Don't know. Have no idea. So it'll be a really interesting documentary when I come back, because I'm sure there's something exciting going to happen. I bloody hope so. I hope it's not just me wandering around getting lost and then getting mugged of all my camera equipment and then just come back all sad and lonely, saying I didn't really learn anything because I spent most of the time in a police station. Could happen. But, you know, let's be positive. Hopefully we're going to make some positive change. If you want to get involved in the project, or if you want to learn more, you can go to my website, vinniewhite.co.uk. Vinny is spelled a ridiculously stupid way, V-I-N-N-E-Y, white.co.uk. Have a look at the page that's got information on the project. All right, that's that. Sorted. Next. Oh, by the way, also, I said all that on camera, and so that's bit of a double whammy, because it was a radio show, and also that was the actual introduction to the documentary. Hey, thinking outside the box, genius. A bit egoy, wasn't it? Hang on, let's do that take again. God, I'm glad this isn't live. That'd be embarrassing. I was just thinking of a creative idea. Quite clever, not genius. The wealth gap, ladies and gentlemen, is an issue that can well, it certainly affects us all in one way or another, even if we don't think it does. Sometimes you might be lucky enough to be affected positively, but the World Economic Forum took place this year in Davos, Switzerland. Switzerland, always a logical place to talk about economics because of its chocolate, cuckoo clocks, and fantastic financial history of stealing gold from the Nazis that stole it from someone else. Who did they steal it from? Or did they mine it? Don't think they did they? Anyway, whatever your stance is now on Switzerland, it was certainly the home to Davos, the Financial World Economic Forum this week. And was it just an excuse to go skiing for loads of already rich people? I don't know. But it was discussed on the O'Leary and Lang exchange, unless they've got married. Don't think so. And it sounded a bit like this.
This story quickly, which is the combined wealth, this is according to Oxfam, of the world's 85 richest people is equal to the 3.5 billion poorest people.
It's fantastic. And this is a great thing because it inspires everybody, gets the motivation to look up to the 1% and say, I want to become one of those people. I'm going to fight hard to get up to the top. This is fantastic news. And of course, I applaud it. What can be wrong with this?
Really?
Yes, really.
So somebody living on
$1
a day in Africa is getting up in the morning and saying, I'm going to be Bill Gates.
That's the motivation
the
everybody
thing between
needs.
Me and
I'm
that
not
guy
against
is
charity.
Motivation. I just need to pull up my socks. I don't have socks.
Look, don't tell me that you want to redistribute wealth again. That's never going to happen.
You know what? You take a simple stat like this, which is neither good nor bad. It's just a fact.
It's a celebratory stat. I'm very excited about it. I'm wonderful to see it happen. I tell kids every day, what's wrong with
up at a cocktail party.
No, Amanda, what's wrong with this statement?
One possible response
if you
to it,
work hard, you might be stinking rich.
We're talking
one day
about people in extreme abject poverty. That's how you get 3.5
billion. No, we're not. You were just talking about really
category.
Rich people.
No.
You're so childish at the end there. She says, we're talking about poor people. No, we're not. We're talking about rich people. Yes. Also, we're not 12. You know what she meant, Muppet. And the other thing that gets me about that is, could you just play the very last thing he says? The last couple of, I think he says something along the lines of, what's wrong with, if you work hard, you'll become rewarded.
Amanda, what's wrong with this statement?
One possible response
if you
to it,
work hard, you might be stinking rich
we're talking
one day.
About people
so, he says, if you work hard, you might be stinking rich one day. That's his overall statement. And in many respects, in a functioning, perfect, utopian meritocracy, he'd be right. But he's not right because that's not the way that things are. And we're talking about a global statistic here. The 85 richest people in the world have as much wealth as the poorest half of the world. So I think, Mr. O'Leary, perhaps if you really want to, pardon the pun, but put your money where your mouth is, why don't you, I don't know, move to Somalia? That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Let's get O'Leary to back up those comments by moving to Somalia, a country without a government, and he can live in a small shack where war and crime is part of everyday life, and the so-called motivation to become one of the 85 richest people in the world is far from your mind when you're eating grass and bark from trees to try and carve an existence. And you don't even know the concept of starting a business that could then one day possibly flourish into something massive and exciting and money-generating, because all you give about is survival on a daily basis, which is bloody hard when you're surrounded by war. I bet he'd end up as a pirate in Somalia if he moved to Somalia. I know that I sound like some raving lefty. I'm not. I'm not. Just me, and I just think it's disgusting that people like that say such antagonising things without really thinking them through. So that's that. It's not very funny, but it's just a it's just a fact. What would be funny is seeing him try and eat in a third world country and seeing him his soup slowly become more and more decrepit till he had to hold it all up with elastic bands. Oh dear. The stats really are explained very well right here.
The state of wealth inequality in America is a bit hard to comprehend, partly because it's confusing, but mostly because it's bananas. Let me show you how imbalanced this nation has become in 60 seconds. The Forbes 400, you know, the 400 richest people in the U.S. They could fit on your average 747 commercial jet with room to spare. These people, the ones on this plane, have a combined wealth of $1.7 trillion. Sounds like a lot, but what is $1.7 trillion? Well, it's larger than the combined wealth of the bottom 60% of Americans who have $1.5 trillion. 60%. That's 200 million Americans who wouldn't be able to scratch together enough wealth to rival that of the 400 people on this plane. 200 million Americans. That's as many Americans that live in California, Texas, New York, Florida, Illinois, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Georgia, and all these other states.
10.
All combined, worth less than the people on this plane. They are not the 1%. They are the 1% of the 1% of the 1%. And the divide between the people on this plane and the rest of us on the ground is only getting larger. This is the state of wealth inequality in America.
So the first text in on this comes from someone, I didn't leave their name, but they say rich people are the only people who have earned the right to comment about rich people. So I'm going to assume you're one of them, are you? Being that you've just commented about the structure of commenting on rich people. Rich people are the only people who have earned the right to comment about rich people. Of course, that's absolute bollocks. You can comment on what you like, and no matter what money you've earned, I believe the last time I checked, I could say whatever I want. So don't put me in a position where I have to have enough money to make a reasonable argument. Pop that firmly where the sun don't shine. Now then, the Pope actually said something this week, which I agree with, which is a rarity, in a message addressing more than 2,500 participants at that World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland. He said that more should be done to promote the growth of equality alongside the economic recovery. So it's actually the first time I think I've agreed with the Pope since the last one said, I don't think I want to do this anymore. Meanwhile, today, the Pope, and this one was a bit of a shocker, had a bit of a PR faux pas with some white doves. There was a bird attack as he freed some doves. Did you see this? It was the weirdest thing. Two white doves that were released by children. Aww, it's like a Michael Jackson video. Standing alongside the Pope. Aww, as a peace gesture. Aww, little kiddies holding up a bird and then they fly off. Were then attacked by other birds. As tens of thousands of people watched in St. Peter's Square today, a seagull with a large black crow swept down on the doves right after they were set free from an open window to the Apostolic Palace. The dove lost some feathers as it broke free from the gull, but the crow pecked repeatedly at the other dove. It's not what the message... I don't think that's what he was going for. It was not clear if the dove survived after they flew off. I love that even in their first 10 seconds... two doves get attacked by two birds, and that it's not clear if the doves survived after they flew off. Statistically speaking, what chance have they got if even if they did make it? They got attacked in 10 seconds. It's like saying, a man was found in a lion's cage today. He was mauled badly. It's not clear whether he was killed. He's still in the lion's cage and will remain in the lion's cage for the rest of time, but he'll probably be fine. While speaking at the window beforehand, Francis had appealed to peace in Ukraine, where anti-government protesters have died. Actually, I must say, another message I agree with. Like, I'm the Pope here. Like, I've become so self-righteous today, haven't I? I'll just check what the Pope say, and yes, that's fine. Pope, yeah, that's okay, Pope. Keep it up, Pope. So that's that. Now, we're going to move on to other things. Did we do the choir thing from last week, since we're on a slightly religious angle? You really need to hear the Funky Fresh Senior Choir, a church choir who decided to do Hey Ya and You Can't Touch This from MC Hammer. Don't do a great job, so we'll listen to that. You honestly never know, do you, what's coming on this show? It's entertainment roulette. 50% good, 50% crap.
You're tuned in to The Vinny White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Okay, just a quick one. I don't want to make this a really serious show, but I think it's worth giving the people a voice. After all, that is what good radio is about. The guy that texted in, I think I'll just check it's the same number. Yeah, it is. Rich people are the only people who have earned the right to comment about rich people. So I'll read that again. Rich people are the only people who have earned the right to comment about rich people. We were talking earlier about the ridiculous inequality across the world, which is worse now than in the early 20s. I had a go at him for that, or her, don't know if it is. And they've come back with this to back up their statement. Next week, phone me up and we'll talk about this, because I want to give you a voice, even though I don't agree with you in any way, shape or form. It's just easier than text messages. Rich people are the only people who have earned the right to comment about rich people. I am not rich. I am unemployed. I have had to work two jobs my entire adult life. I do not expect smart, hard-working people to have to pay for dumb, lazy people. Regards. And then he goes on to tell me his name is Gregory. Now, I won't attack that statement, but I will read out the text that came in after his first text, which was this. What a fallacy. That person who texted about the moneyed class, they are only qualified to have an opinion about money if they have money. That is backward indeed. I do not need money to have an opinion, says someone. Yeah, I haven't got any money, and my opinion is that the disparity of the world money is unhealthy. There. I just said it again. So obviously I'm allowed to say it because I keep doing it. And last time I checked, I haven't got a text from my boss to tell me that I'm fired. And I will keep doing it. Now then, I bought a new computer this week and it's all jolly clever. It's an Apple, which, as we know, are the most expensive computers in the world. And you regret everything about buying an Apple. But of course, you have to, because they've got you by the short and curlies, because they are the only computers that are reliable. It's a very difficult situation, and I appreciate the PCs are getting better, but not the Progressive Conservatives, although I'm sure you want to talk about that. But I would like, really, to introduce you to the new voices. This computer is so clever, as is Siri and many other phones nowadays, that you can talk to it and it will text whatever you talk. Yes? But the problem with me, of course, is this idiotic accent that I seem to have developed. And even though obviously I was born in Hamilton and have lived here all my life. But yeah, I've got this accent and the computer didn't understand me. So I downloaded a new pack that understands the voice. Here's the English one.
Hello, my name is Serena. I am a British English voice.
And while I was there, I thought I might have a look at some of the other ones. So this is Emily. Go, Emily. Oh, I like Emily.
Hello, my name is Emily. I am a British English voice.
I bet you are. I bet you are, you filthy animal. And then I thought, well, let's cruise around the world and have a look at the other ones. This is the South African one. She's called Tessa.
Hello, my name is Tessa. I'm a South African English voice.
Diplomatic immunity. This is the Scottish one. Enjoying the Scottish one very much.
Hello, my name is Fiona. I am a Scottish English voice.
And then Moira, who I think is a bit confused, like most of the Irish. Go, Moira.
Hello, my name is Moira. I am an Irish English voice.
Yeah, you don't sound like it, although you might be hammered. Let's try again.
Hello, my name is Moira. I am an Irish English voice.
Now, I live with an Irish woman, and I'm half Irish, and I have been to Ireland about 20 times. I don't remember any Irish people saying, I aim an Irish English voice. I don't know why I'm just going, oh, hello there, Fiddly Dee Potatoes.
Hello, my name is Moira. I aim an Irish English voice.
I aim. Well, you aim to what? And then, of course, there's Sangeeta. She's from India, but English as well.
Hello, my name is Sangeeta. I am an Indian English voice.
And my favourite is, again, if you're Australian and you're called Karen, you're still called Karen, right? But apparently not.
Hello, my name is Karen. I am an Australian English voice.
That's that. I love it. There's no Canadian one because Apple's manufactured in America and most Americans don't know where Canada is and don't realise that it might actually exist. However, there is a French-Canadian one. Let me just find that. There's loads of American ones. This is Junior, the American one.
My favourite food is pizza.
That's not weird. It's definitely not weird. That's fine. Where's the French one? There's a French... Yeah, French Canada, not French France. My favourite. Here we go.
Bonjour. Je m'appelle Félix. Je suis une voix canadienne.
Yes, you are. Although you didn't say... Wah, lol. Wah. And this is Julie as well from Quebec. Hello, Quebec. How you doing?
Bonjour. Je m'appelle Julie. Je suis une voix canadienne.
Sometimes when I'm lonely in bed, I just get this. I just have like a false chat. Hello.
Bonjour.
Nice to see you. How you doing?
Bonjour.
No, hello. Yes, how are you?
Bonjour.
Oh, yeah, what's your name?
Bonjour. Je m'appelle Julie. Je suis une voix canadienne.
Which, I speak enough French to know what she's saying, but I always like to think that she's saying, please roll over and give me a jolly good seeing to. Now then, let's move on to the choir before we get too risque with the robot that is Julie. Last week we gave you a little sample of this, and that's all you need really because it's so harrowingly bad. This is the Funky Fresh Senior Choir. You know when old people try to do things that young people do and it's really embarrassing? Yeah.
Tintagesis. Break it down.
Couldn't get any worse, could it?
Stop. Hammer time.
As long as I don't do something that's mildly sexual, something, you know, that's difficult to sing, like It's Getting Hot in Here, which is essentially a rap track about taking your clothes off. That would be terrible. By the way, most of these people are in their 80s and they're wearing robes.
It's getting hot in here, so take off all your clothes.
I'm getting so hot, I'm going to take my robe off.
It's getting hot in here, so take off all your robes.
I'm getting so hot, I'm going to take my robe.
Oh, God. And we did Hey Ya last week. If you could have a tiny bit of Hey Ya, I think it's the first one.
Now don't have me break this thing down for nothing.
There's a bit where she acts like a ghost.
Shake it like a Polaroid picture.
Hey, yeah, stay there.
Hey,
it gets me every time. I think she does it again. There you go. Oh, that's a sound that you really don't need to think about again. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, it's been a blast. I'll do more next week. I'm leaving in a few weeks, so you've got me for a little while. Some would say that's good. Some would argue differently. Been a pleasure. If you want to download the show, vinnywhite.co.uk. Edward Keenan is next to save the day with his cape on. Bye-bye.